evening, people, and welcome to Intellectual Kink.
Welcome.
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 How, I'm Insidious Muse.
I'm Service Slut.
And how are you this fine evening?
Okay, you know, I'm a little, like, on edge, and I'm not sure why. I've been on, like, that for days, though, already.
I'm not sure why either, but yes, you certainly have been on edge, and I would like you to figure this out, because right. It's,
You know what I think it is?
It's becoming an issue.
I know. I think it's just because there's just a lot of change going on in my life right now, you know?
I do know.
And so it's just a lot of stuff. Oh my God, she's not using the cough button.
Do I ever?
No. There's just a lot of change going on in my life right now. And I think also just stuff. And I'm just stressing out a little bit.
Well, you have good changes. I mean, you have a new job that you're starting soon, and that's awesome. I mean, you're going to make more money.
I am.
Which to me is like, let's do that. That sounds fantastic.
But as we all know, more money, more problems. So let's not even.
Wow. You're not even giving yourself like even a fucking second to enjoy it.
No, really not. No, it's not that. It's not even that. It's just like, I'm just scared. I'm a little scared. And I'm not saying that I'm not enjoying it. I'm just kind of scared about it. And then on top of that, you know, I mean, there's just other stuff going on. It's just other stuff, you know. Me temporarily living with you. I mean, it's kind of a thing.
It is kind of a thing. It is kind of a thing.
It's kind of a stressful thing.
Well, you know.
I love you. But, you know, it's still stressful. What? Why are you laughing?
I love you, but it's just still stressful.
It is. Oh my God. You're going to tell me that this has been a breeze for you?
No, man. My sex life has gone to shit. It's a situation. I haven't had sex in 2 weeks.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry for you.
You should be. That's not it.
So we have a topic today.
We do, and it's actually one of our mutually favoritest topics ever.
And I couldn't believe, when I was going through like our archives to see if we had already done a show on this, I couldn't believe we hadn't already done a show on it, because I was pretty fucking sure that we had.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, which is really kind of a weird thing that we hadn't.
Yeah, it was really, really, really weird.
It is what it is. I got to silence my phone now.
Yes, you do. Because then we're going to be hearing all these different things.
I have awesome sounds on my phone, though. It's fantastic. Yeah, so the topic, did you say what the topic was?
No.
Humiliation and degradation. And when we originally talked about you and I earlier today, yesterday, yeah. I just said humiliation, and I realized, you know what? We really need to add degradation into it, because what we do so little actual humiliation anymore. It's now all just flat out degradation.
Fuck, man. And I was thinking too, like,
next level shit.
Yeah. We're just like, what? I mean, she calls me a slut and it's like, okay.
Well, whatever. It must be Sunday at church. You know, I mean, that's like how lame it is for us. So I think to start the conversation, I think most people understand essentially what being humiliated is. The idea of humiliation is very overarching, and it can actually cover several other types of play simultaneously. Humiliation is a very broad subject, and there are sub-points of it. And you and I, we actually had a bit of a discussion over whether or not pet play was, in fact, humiliation. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it is a sub-point of humiliation. You believe that it is not necessarily so, which is great. People can have different opinions, and guess what? They can still be friends. But the way that I look at humiliation and degradation is that, you know, there's humiliation, which is the art of humiliating somebody, you know, debasing them, you know, taking them down a notch, et cetera, in some level, in some area of their lives. Degradation is extreme humiliation. it's going past, it's putting you towards a dehumanizing point, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, kind of your bliss. You're like way into that.
So much.
It's interesting because this is the whole concept of humiliation and degradation is actually fairly heated because there are people that think, why would you as a dominant, why me as a D type, why would I enjoy this kind of behavior? What does that say about me? Am I a bad person? Blah, blah, blah. That's one of the points. Another point is, why would you possibly enjoy wanting to play with somebody who felt this way about themselves, that clearly they have emotional and mental issues? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't enjoy this kind of play. Now, I will be honest, for me, myself, and I, because I am the Holy Trinity in and of myself.
Wow.
Fuck, I don't know where that came from.
I don't know either. I don't know.
But because I said me, myself, and I, and I thought, wow, why did I say myself three times? Holy Trinity, there you go.
Wow.
little sacrilege going down there. Did I just, am I doing humiliation with God now?
I
think I am.
Wow.
Fuck, I've lost it.
You really have. Okay, come back.
For me personally, it was very difficult to come to terms with the fact that this kind of play did not, in fact, mean that I was a bad person.
Right.
It took a long time for me to do that, and it really took finding other people that really enjoyed it, that got off on it as much as I did, for me to really be like, okay, this is okay.
Yeah.
This is not like some sort of a huge sign of, oh my God, Mistress is a horrible human being because she enjoys this. I'm not a horrible human being. I'm actually a pretty good human being.
Favorite human being. What?
I do enjoy humiliating and degrading. It's very, very fun.
You are the yin to my motherfucking yang.
See, camera's not on me, so nobody saw that. That was awesome. <Damn it. laughs> Woohoo! And this is the shit that I fucking do all the time.
Well, you know, and for me, when I was coming to terms with it for myself, and I can't remember having really struggled with it.
Really?
I've struggled more with other things, current struggles.
The end of the struggle.
Okay, cool. Awesome, thanks. But I never really, it's just something that like, it was just like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Why not? You know, it was never anything where like, what does this say about me? What kind of fucked up person am I for liking this?
Well, I think that when you remove that judgment in any kink, it makes it easier to accept.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that is true. But I guess I'm just saying, you know, like, so here's my thing. So I come with my baggage, right? I have all this emotional baggage that, you know, and people who talk to me on the regular, or I don't know, fucking read my tweets.
Or listen to the show.
Yeah. Everybody knows my business. And it's really, it would have been so easy for me to be like, well, obviously I'm, you know, have some issues. If, you know, these are the things that are in my past. And obviously I'm, you know, I don't have good coping mechanisms. Yep. I'm starved for any kind of attention, whether, you know, it doesn't matter if it's negative or something, you know, like.
Yeah, like this is something that's been conditioned from your past.
Right.
Yeah.
And that just isn't the case. It hasn't been the case. And, you know, and I look at like the types of things that I really enjoy, or the types of things that I kind of wish would happen, you know, just stuff that I crave. And I can't connect that to anything. I can't connect that to anything in my past or something that is missing in my life. It's actually quite the opposite. It is the fucking whipped cream on my sundae.
And this is, I think, where the current school of psychology and BDSM fails, and that is that they're constantly trying to link it to some sort of a negative thing in your past, because they're equating it to being something negative in your present, that this is something that's indicative of psychologically wrong with not you as a person, one, the world, one. And it's a flawed school of thinking.
Well, and because, you know, when I think about humiliation and degradation, when I think about its uses, what it can be used for, I think about, well, you're positively conditioning someone to do something that you want them to do, something that you want them to feel good about. You want them to feel good about being sexual. You want them to feel good about themselves. I feel like that's a use for humiliation and degradation. Yeah, you know what? Some of the horrible things that have come out of your mouth are awesome.
They really are awful.
They're so awful.
Like, so I know that we're in public and stuff like that, and I'll look around, and then I'll get real close to her in ear, and I'll whisper whatever it is in her ear, and she'll, like, you know, get all, like, blushy, and she'll be like, things are happening down there. But, I mean, I do. I'm like, I have to be aware of where I am. I can't just go into race play in the middle of downtown Los Angeles. That's not okay, people. Traditionally, when the white person starts saying stuff about the Mexican, not okay. So, you know, yes, but we do race play. That is a form of the degradation.
So
one of the things that I really like about humiliation and degradation is, in its simplest form, it really is the fastest way to highlight power exchange.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is no way to look at it and not see, oh, this person is in control, this person has the power, and this person doesn't. And it also helps kind of reaffirm the roles, especially if you do it lightly, even in joking bits of sarcasm or whatever throughout the day in a vanilla context. It's a great way to reaffirm what roles you have. And it's also a great way to kind of just, you know, feed those little kinks that we all have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so there was one time and you did it and it was kind of like, yeah, do more of that, please. I have no idea what the fuck we were doing. We were playing. I don't know what was happening, but you made some sort of comment about me being a whore. And it was in such a way that it made me feel like what was, I mean, I'm sure you had to have been like putting something in my vagina. Like,
probably. I do that a lot.
Yeah. And it was something like that. And it made me feel like, oh, okay. So, oh, I'm doing the right thing. I'm spreading my legs and I'm relaxing. And it was positive.
I'm lubricating.
It was positive reinforcement, you know? And so in that moment, it wasn't like it was this big thing. But, you know, your dominance gets reaffirmed. My submission gets reaffirmed. Everybody's in their little box. Everybody's where they need to be. Everybody's doing what they need to do, what they're supposed to do at that time.
Right. It is nice. And now, most of the humiliation and degradation that you and I do is very humorous.
There's so much
a lot of humor. And mostly it's just because I'm a funny person. I like cracking jokes. I like being humorous. And that's not to say that we haven't had some of those more intense experiences, which you can only take in doses.
I want some. What? Who said that? What? I didn't say that.
You want more already?
Who said that? Ever?
Oh, I'm so bummed the market party isn't this weekend.
I know, huh?
That's okay. We can figure it out.
We can do other stuff. We can do stuff. We don't need a party. What? Who needs a party?
That's fast, because the last time that it wasn't necessarily humiliation, degradation, but that we got really, really intense.
Yeah, but see, that was different, though.
It's still the same intensity.
I guess so.
It's the same intensity.
I don't know.
It comes from the same place in me, just so you know. Whether I'm doing kind of that intense interrogation or humiliation from a darker place, not from a jovial place. It's the same place. That's where it comes from for me.
Okay.
Just so you know. And I'm fine with doing it. If you want, in fact, I'm already putting together something we could do at my house.
Wow. Look at you working fast.
Upstairs in the mistress bedroom.
Yay. Where all the fun happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You be naked. A lot of hands and knees. This is going to happen. There was a kiddie pool on sale at Rite Aid. I think I need it.
Oh, wow. See, you guys, this is why I can never take her seriously. That's why when she goes to that dark place, that's the only time I can actually take her seriously. Because all the rest of the time, it's all these shenanigans, and it's not like we're even really doing anything. It's just her being her.
I'm Mr. Shenanigan. Yes, I am. I should change my name. Yeah, so for me, I mean, it's usually from a very funny, jovial place where I'm really just, I'm having fun. I am making fun of her or of him or whatever. And it's not that it's not. Let me ask you this. It's not that it's not as enjoyable when it's humorous, but the intensity of it is very different. Is that correct?
The intensity is different, and it almost feels like the intent, the end. It's just a means to an end, and it just differs, you know. Both of them lead to the same exact thing. One is a straight shot, the other one's kind of curvy.
Let me give you an example for the home listeners. Like normally it'd be like, you know, oh, you're such a filthy, dirty fucking whore. You want this in your pussy, don't you? Of course you do. You're such a filthy fucking whore. Versus, you're such a filthy fucking dirty whore. Of course you want this in your pussy. Why fucking wouldn't you? Do you see the difference? Very different intent and very different intensity, because one is kind of done playfully and one is done very intensely.
One makes me giggle, the other makes me be really quiet.
Right, but they still both have very specific outcomes in you. Mm-hmm. And it's still humiliation or degradation or whatever it is you want to call it, depending on how you and your partner define those two things. It's very specific to the people. You know, to that point, I want to talk about before people get into it all. I wrote like this really actually fairly brilliant blog piece on the art of humiliation, because for me, I don't think that just anybody should participate in humiliation, and I don't think that anybody should just start doing it as a pickup scene. I don't do humiliation with somebody that I don't know. Like, I have to get to know them. Because there are landmines.
Turns out
there are landmines, and dealing with emotional landmines is really intense. And if you're not equipped to do that, I happen to be equipped to deal with emotional landmines. It's one of my skills. Some people do not have that skill set. Those people that like to outsource their aftercare, I'm going to say they probably don't have the skills to deal with emotional landmines in humiliation and degradation. Some things can actually scar somebody permanently, or it's a very opening, festering wound from something in their past.
Yep.
And some things don't heal. Nancy and I have talked about this personally. We have history of our lives. There's abuse in our past individually. And some things don't heal. They don't ever leave you. It doesn't matter how much fucking therapy you go to. Doesn't matter how much of a whole human being you may appear to be. There are certain parts that have, certain shit that happens in your life. It doesn't ever go away. It's always a part of you. It's always there. And when you are going to engage in humiliation and degradation play with somebody, these are the things you need to know.
It's not enough to discuss medical conditions that you may have. It's just not. And that's just, I mean, then that's part of why you can't just pick up and just start.
Yeah.
And on top of that, really, I mean, if you don't know somebody that well, like, how are you? I mean.
It's not satisfying.
It's satisfying. It can be satisfying in the moment, and you know, you get a cheap thrill out of it, you know, using someone as a footstool, like, and you can do that to anybody. But you know, there's the more profound humiliation that you don't get to touch, unless you know that person pretty damn well.
I mean, you can go for the surface stuff, like, you know, dressing a guy up like a girl and calling him a sissy and, you know, doing all of that stuff, which, hey, that's awesome, that's fine, that's fun. But if you don't have a connection with the person, for me, humiliation and degradation requires a connection. It's not the same as an impact play scene. It's just not. And I'm not going to get the same pleasure out of it, the same top space high, as I would if I, you know, knew somebody well. You know, when we have our scenes, especially our intense scenes, it takes it out of me, like, a lot. I mean, you've seen me. I need to decompress big time, especially from the intense ones. That's really hard for me. Aftercare after those, it's really fucking hard for me because I am not in the mood to give anybody comfort. It's all of that intensity is still really coursing through my veins, but it takes a long time for me to, it really takes me probably about 8 to 12 hours to come down. And I'm not talking about a top space high. I'm just talking about that intensity, the way it feels in my body. So, you know, it's one of those things where if I don't have that connection with somebody, whatever, you know, I mean, I think I did a sissification and dollification class one time, and I dollified you and I sissified some guy. It was a fellow femdoms submissive, whatever. It was, I got nothing out of that other than, wow, that is the ugliest chick I've ever seen in my entire life. That was about it. And it wasn't even, you know, wasn't even funny because he was just not a very attractive woman.
No.
So, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. For me, I think that you, in order to be doing this safely, you have to get to know the person, get in there. And that's from the top side, from the bottom side. You have to, you think that you are open and vulnerable when you're submitting to impact. I can't imagine the intensity of your vulnerability when you're submitting to degradation. You have to trust.
Yeah.
You have to lay out all of your baggage, all of your shit, the things that we hide from people in vanilla relationships for years. You have to lay that out right now in order for you to go into those kinds of plays, that kind of scenario. And that's terrifying.
And yeah, I mean, for as much as we've been talking about communicating and everything, you have to be prepared for your insecurities getting picked on.
Yeah.
You just do. And if that's something that you're willing to risk, you know, touching, then great, you know. But it's being able to know that there's that possibility that someone's going to pick at your insecurities. And it doesn't mean that they love you any less. It doesn't mean that, you know, they've pointed out these horrible or what you perceive to be horrible things about yourself and they no longer care about you. That's not someone that you want to be playing with.
No.
That's not someone that you should give that right to humiliate you to. The person that you're going to give that to, that gift to, is someone who does care about you and cares enough about you to have done their research about you and the things that they should avoid calling you or doing to you or making you do.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that are landmines, like words. Sometimes the word stupid, you know, or idiot. There are certain words. Let's say, you know, you came from a home where one or more of the parents, like, called everybody names. Maybe stupid was one of them, or maybe your sibling called it to you, and it's a trigger for you on some level or another. Those are the kinds of things that people need to be aware of. And then you're right about you have to be prepared for people to make fun of the areas in which you're insecure. And the truth is, at some point, that might be coming enjoyable for the bottom. Let me give you an example. I know there are several men that we know that have smaller than average penises.
Mm-hmm.
And they get great joy out of being publicly humiliated by about having this smaller than average penis, but they didn't always. It's something that it's hard for them to accept. A conversation with one who I love dearly is, I hate myself for getting aroused when you make fun of how small my dick is.
Mm.
And I'm like, I know that. I get that. And I said, but you get aroused. Your dick gives you away. I said, you know, not much because it's not very big, but it gives you away. Because I'm a giver. I like to constantly reaffirm those things.
Oh, thank you so much.
Right? But, and it's, that is, you know, for an example, that kind of area of humiliation. There's a lot of men would seriously not be okay with their penis size being ridiculed. Seriously not be okay. Like, in a ball of tears, not be okay. Because for whatever reason, they've determined that to be some representation of their actual manhood, their manliness, their ability to, you know, be a man. Whatevs. Even the smallest penis can impregnate. It's really not the penis that does it. It's the sperm. Here to help, to educate.
So let's start talking about all like the sad stuff about humiliation, because humiliation is not sad. Humiliation's awesome and fun. Awesome fun.
What was your favorite kind of humiliation you and I have done? or that has been done without me. I don't want to presume that I'm the only one.
Aww.
But I'm the only one.
Oh my goodness. To date, my favorite humiliation was that one scene when you were playing with someone else and I was saran wrapped to, yeah. That is...
Really?
Really, really, it sticks out of my mind.
And even more
There's
than,
been some the, really close seconds.
Even more than the statue?
No, see, that one was, that's like up there. That one's up there.
Seriously, laziest scene ever. Laziest scene ever.
Oh my God. No, that one was awesome. It was great. It was awesome. But that was not very humiliating. It was very much objectification.
Yeah,
yes, but it wasn't very humiliating.
Well, objectification is humiliation.
Yeah, but not so much as the other stuff. It's not, objectification can be a form of humiliation, but objectification by itself is not humiliation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So let's say you finally have waded through all of these things that people should be careful about with humiliation. How do you even get started humiliating someone? When someone is giving you the green light, what do you go to? What's your go-to?
Spitting.
We haven't done that.
Face slapping. Name calling, depending on what it is. If we've negotiated race play, I generally like to pull out all of the bad names that are associated with race. Okay, so story time.
Yay!
I was doing a cuckolding thing with my then boyfriend, and the partner that I had was a black man. Really beautiful black man with a huge penis, of course. And he and I had been talking for quite some time, and he really, really was into humiliation and being humiliated. And he really, really wanted to do a master-slave thing. So we negotiated what were okay things to say. And so during sex, he called me Ms. Master. And I called him every name in the book. I think the kindest thing I called him was boy.
Wow.
Seriously.
That's kind of intense.
Think about all of the slave expressions that can be used. I use them. All of them. You know. And it was fantastic. But he and I obviously discussed what those things. It depends on the person. Some people like, whoa, 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 huge triggers. Don't use any of those words. Cool. I'm not going to use any of those words. It's cool. If you're negotiating race play, especially when there's like a long history with, let's say, a particular culture, really specify. You need to tell me in your own words what is okay for me to say. Because I'm not dropping the N-word if that's not cool with you. I'm not, you know, and not to mention, an N-word is probably one of the easier ones. There's a lot worse if you go down into history. There's a lot worse you can say. I want to make sure we're cool with that. So I'm just saying that's the kind of thing. So you can do race play, which is fun. A really easy thing for guys is kind of the sissy play. You call them a sissy, you know, you're a little bitch, that kind of stuff. Women, slut, whore. come bucket, come slut, all of these little...
Just your run-of-the-mill insults.
Run-of-the-mill things that you would say, just general slut shaming, that kind of thing. You know, how many dicks have been in your mouth? Could you even count it? You know, just all of these things that you could figure out what you want to say. Think about it. Think about these things that you would say and say it. And then, of course, what's also kind of fun is injecting humiliation into some other kind of play. So, for example, let's say you have somebody bound or mummified or whatever like that. Then you can start interrogating them about their sexual history aloud so that they have to announce to everybody how many sexual partners have they had. you know, what's the largest penis they've had? Which, you know, how many vaginas has their fist been in? How many vaginas have they tasted? Have they tasted their own vagina? Have they tasted their own semen? All of these things. That's all humiliation. And I'm a big proponent of public humiliation, especially if you have them, you know, on a main stage or in a main room, maybe suspended, and you're having them scream out these answers. This sounds awesome. Right?
Oh my goodness.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
You just gave somebody an idea. You just gave your scene away.
That's okay. I got other scenes I can give away.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, there's all sorts of fun things. Let me give you the one that I told you that I just literally, it came up in a fan, like my head in 2 seconds. Remember I was telling you the other day?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think it was actually very soon after we were on the show last week with Fauna, who I love. And when Fauna and I are together, sometimes it's like a two-woman comedy act. Mm-hmm. Where she and I just play off of each other, and it's very, very funny. And I thought to myself, oh, one of these nights at the Dungeons, I gotta make sure Nancy's well hydrated, and then I wanna tie her to a chair, and then have Fawn and I go back and forth and do this little comedy thing to make Nancy laugh so hard that she pees herself all over the chair, but she can't get up. And then I wanna cut her out of the chair, and I wanna rub her face in her pee and make her lick it up. That's degradation. That's beyond humiliation. That's still full on degradation. But I would love to do that. It's all about logistics. That's why I said kiddie pool. You can pee in the kiddie pool then. She's just nodding. These are the kinds of things that you could do.
Well, and see, and so what? Because I can speak. I can totally speak.
Well, you have to.
I have to speak.
For the show.
So nice.
So, see, for me, I had somebody that really, really, really wanted to know what my number one kink was, and I don't have a number one kink. But if I had to, it'd be creativity. So one of the reasons I love humiliation is it really pushes me to be very creative. I have to be creative. I also don't like repeating myself. I don't like doing the same scenes over and over again. That really bothers me. Mm-hmm. And for us, very few of our scenes have been even remotely duplicated.
Nope.
I like to do things different. It makes, I get variety. I get a better high off of it. You get a better, you know, high off of it. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
And then, you know, we're constantly expanding our repertoires. And humiliation and degradation provides that area. It's a great arena for that because you really do have to be constantly thinking and constantly on your toes. And you have to just, you know, on the fly, come up with expressions, words, whatever. You know, it's just think of something that you could say that's humiliating. Now, calling a man a whore, not really all that humiliating. They've been conditioned to believe that that is a compliment. But feminizing him, emasculating, is generally very humiliating for men in our society. So, you know, having him wear panties. I also like doing things in public, like, you know, you're going to wear a butt plug to dinner, sliding an envelope over with nipple clamps with a note in it saying, go put these on in the restroom. I like doing that kind of stuff and having them wear the nipple clamps at dinner. That's fun.
Ow.
Or a cock ring. Or tell them to go masturbate. All of these things. I like doing that kind of stuff. It's fun. It's just fun.
Let's just go home and do a whole bunch of humiliation. What? This is fun.
As long as it's involved in cleaning up my bedroom.
Because it's fun.
That's okay. It's your job. It's what you people do. That was a humiliation people.
She's Mexican. That was our race play.
People are going to be offended.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, you can't, with humiliation, especially when you're walking that fine line into degradation, you have to loosen up your idea of what offends you.
Isn't that the truth?
Only because, and I say that you have to, because it's like you're just holding yourself back from these awesome things that can happen. Did I ever think I enjoyed race play? No. I never even crossed my mind.
I always knew I did. It's the little racist in me.
Wow.
I'm not racist. Some of my best friends are your people.
You are something else.
I am. No, I understand it, but to the point that you and I had much earlier before the show, you have to remove that automatic judgmentalism, that judgment that we make of ourselves based on what society says, what is proper and what is improper. You've got to remove that, because that's going to impede any kink.
You know, I think about being called a whore and how...
And get wet?
You can't do that to me when we're doing the show. Okay?
But I can.
No, but, you know, I think about being called a whore, and I think about how, you know, in our society, that's like such a bad thing. You can't right. be a whore, even though there's this whole, you know, taking back the word slut and all of that stuff. But it generally does not come with positive thoughts. And so I have to loosen my grip on that. I have to, you know, create this alternate fucking reality in my head where it's okay. All of those things are okay. And actually, no, scratch that. I am okay with it. I am okay with being called all of those names in any reality. It is not...
But were you always? It is something you had to recondition yourself for, correct?
Not really. I mean, yes, but not to the extent where it made me uncomfortable whenever you called me that. You know, like it that has never made me feel uncomfortable. What makes me feel a little off is that I know that, like, you know, if you did that in public, like, you know, it would be like, and, you know, people overheard you, it would be kind of, you know, it would be a thing. But I don't think I've ever been really strongly opposed to it.
Okay. How do you feel when somebody else that is not me calls you one of those?
Not okay.
That's the point.
Not okay. And it goes back to, what is the intent? You know, I know that with you, the intent is, hey, that's our fucking dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
That's our relationship. With someone else, I don't know what the fuck's up with them. I don't know them. I don't know what the fuck they want from me. What are they thinking they're going to gain by calling me that? Do they think I'm going to, what, fuck down to them or something? Like, what is happening? It just, there's no reason for it.
Fuck down.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, just to me, it seems like with us, it, you know, there is a direct result of, there is something that is being gained from that, something that we're working towards or that we're working to maintain. Versus with someone else who doesn't even fucking know me or doesn't have that kind of relationship with me, not okay. Because then I know it's meant in a derogatory way. I know it's meant in a way that it's not loving, you know? And when it comes from you, I know that you love me. I know that it's not, ew, you're gross, get away from me, you know? Although that would be.
I love it when she plants ideas in my head.
Oh, God.
Makes my life so much easier.
Don't do that, though. That would really suck.
But the idea is there now.
Well,
fuck. And I'm very smiley about it.
You are. Okay.
I don't know how I'm going to use it, but I like this idea.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. It's radio. I need to speak. I'm all getting smiley and thinky. Thank you. For me, when I, you know, when it's somebody else that isn't you, that I jokingly call a slut or a whore or a sissy or a little bitch or, you know, little dicked, whatever. If it's just somebody that's like, yeah, it's just whatever. It doesn't matter. It's no different from me saying, you know, hey man to somebody I don't know, you know. But when it's somebody that I do know that I have somewhat of a relationship with, it's a little bit more enjoyable. It's better. I get a little bit bigger high off of it.
Because you know that they mean it when they're worshiping your feet and telling you how much they love you and how it's not so much the submitting part, but yielding to you so much to let you do all of those things that are deemed inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the trust that they would literally trust their emotional well-being with me, which to me is so much of a bigger deal than your physical well-being. Yeah. Pick up scenes where you flog or cane or punch someone is, I mean, it's cool, whatever. But when someone like truly, generally whenever I do like a first scene with somebody, there's very little power exchange involved because that's not cool. It's first scene or whatever. It's just a pickup scene. It's cool. We're just going to do this. How does that work? I need to see how their body reacts. I need to see what their threshold is. I need to see if I'm enjoying it. But when it moves on and at some point they're like, you know, I would be okay if there was some power exchange component to this. And that's when it's like, okay, that's when I have to go into this whole, all right, we're going to do some negotiations. And generally these are people that we actually know. We have a friend of ours. And she said, I would be okay if you called me these certain names, pulled my hair, choked me, this kind of things during this particular scene. And I was like, cool, let's do that. And it was awesome because she trusted me like that. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge rush for the D type.
You know, I've kept on saying how much I love humiliation because it's so much fun. But, you know, there is another aspect to it that, I mean, I'm almost sure I've shared with you. I'm sure I've shared this with you. But, you know, a part of the reason why it is appealing to me is that it puts my ego on check. I'm not a terribly self-centered person. At least I hope I'm not. But I have this, like, kind of irrational fear that I'm, like, really self-centered. And, it helps kind of put me on check. It helps, you know, to just kind of reset things, not just with us, but just kind of with me as a whole, where I can never fly too high. I don't ever want to fly too high. And
you don't want to be like Icarus?
Nope.com. I don't want that. And so while humiliation and degradation is awesome, fun, awesome. really that's the draw for me is that it is the kind of play that impacts me, all of me, not just Nancy, but like the, you know, me. And so, I'm trying to explain myself. But it, you know, there is something to be said when you are made to crawl on all fours. Like, how can you feel at the top of the fucking world when you're crawling on all fours? Like, you know, what?
Nothing.
But you know that there's things that, you know, physical things or just, you know, the things that you hear that someone is telling you that make it just makes it impossible for you to really have that inflated ego that you may have had.
They don't have a broom attachment for that mouth thing, do they?
Yeah,
they do.
I'm buying that.
It'd be so much better than the feather duster.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Carry on. You said crawling on all fours. My mind went places. It created things.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know.
It's there.
I don't know.
there. It's there. I wonder if you could put away clothes with just your teeth.
I feel like this has turned into like such a fucking brainstorm for you or some shit.
It really has. You have no idea what's going through my head. Hey, I want a sticker. I want a sticker.
They have them here.
Put one on my car.
They have them here.
Skid Row Studio sticker. Yeah, it has kind of turned into my brain is flying, thinking up ideas and thoughts and things. I need like a book or something.
You do.
I need an Evernote.
Oh, you don't say.
I have like a scene idea Evernote. Fuck, why don't I have a scene idea Evernote? What's
I don't know. I don't know why you don't have that.
Does anybody not know what Evernote is? So Evernote is this app that you can use on your computer or on your phone, and it syncs across all platforms. And, you know, so if you're having an idea for a scene, type it into an Evernote, and it's wherever your phone or your computer is, and you can pull it up, which is fantastic. Because those of us who have bad memories, oh, I'm so jealous.
That's not fucking fair, Mindy.
Fucking
jealous.
That's
not fucking
jealous.
Fair.
God damn you, Mindy.
Are you jealous? Is
yes!
That it? Oh, I was unaware. Oh. As long as you're not offended, but I feel like it takes a lot to offend you.
It does. It
We're
takes
just jealous.
A whole lot.
We're just jealous. Like, oh, hey!
Hey.
Although we've agreed that we should not do the show under any substance, but if...
Nope.
But I actually think it might be kind of awesome one of these days.
One of these days.
Mindy's a share and a care, so.
She's a share and a carer. If she were a Care Bear, she'd have a sharing heart.
Damn it, I love Mindy so much.
I do love Mindy.
Aw, thanks, guys.
yeah, nobody needs to know about any of that. So Evernote, you can get your ideas going, which is awesome.
Well, and you know, and I think that if you're a person that is trying to figure out, well, you know, how do I go about humiliating someone? I mean, I don't think there's no limits to that. I mean, really, yeah. The only limit is your fucking creativity.
Creativity and the emotional hard limits of the person with whom you're playing. Because the tops, we have emotional hard limits too. Don't think that we don't. There are some areas that we won't go for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. I don't doubt it.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. There are very, very few limits to what you can think of when you're dealing with humiliation and degradation. And once you remove a lot of the judgments, a lot of kind of the negative inflection of what this all means, it's liberating.
It doesn't have to mean anything.
No.
It can just be. For me, it's fun and it means something, but it doesn't have to.
I don't think you're a whore or a slut. I don't. I'm telling you right now. I don't think you're a whore or a slut. You're really actually a very good girl in the grand scheme of the world of good girls. You know, your number of sexual partners is fairly limited in the grand scheme of things. I think if you're a very, you know, Puritan person would look at that and say, okay, outside of the fact that you're clearly a lesbian doomed to go to hell, you other than that, you're actually fairly good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just in that, but... Does that mean I'm not going to call you a fucking whore? I'm going to call you a fucking whore. You want to know why? Because you want to put your fist in every fucking vagina. You want to start putting your fist in asses.
I do.
You want to be like, spread them cheeks and let me slide it in there, bitch. That's what you want to do. So that's a whore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fisting whore. But in a good way. In a totally good way. Whereas, I mean, why would I play with somebody who I thought was a miserable piece of shit? If I called somebody a miserable piece of shit, why would I play with them if I actually thought that was the true situation? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near them. Let me give you a little secret about me. Nancy's aware of this secret. If I don't like you, I don't talk to you. And that's the fucking truth. I will carry on a mundane conversation for the minimum amount of time I possibly can. And then guess what? I will walk the fuck away. Period. I don't talk to people I don't like. I don't surround myself around people I don't like. I don't play with and I do not touch people I don't like. I have to put an insane amount of effort and energy into play. Most D-types do. All D-types do. why the fuck would I waste it on somebody I don't like? So if I call you a piece of shit in play, it's out of love.
I love that. I'll hear I love you every single time you call me a piece of shit.
That's right. And even when I kick you out of my bedroom because I'm going to have sex, have fun sleeping on the couch because I'm the one that's actually being the whore. But I'm okay with that. I own it. I'm cool.
All right.
That's where that goes.
That's a thing.
How far is too far for you?
I don't know yet. I mean, with the exception of you know, my baggage and how there are some landmines. To be honest with you, fuck, man, I can't wait to see how far we go. Like, I want to explore. I feel like there's still so much more to explore. I feel like there's so many more things that we can do that we haven't thought of yet.
Agree.
You know? And so, that's exciting. That's exciting. I'm not as excited about possibly hitting some emotional landmines. Yeah. However, it's a risk I'm willing to take because I enjoy degradation and humiliation as much as I do. So, and to me, you know, a bad scene doesn't make for a bad DS relationship. You know, like that's, to me, it's just, okay, that one scene went bad. It happens. It has happened.
Our first couple scenes were awful.
Yeah.
Like, wow, we should never do this again. Awful.
Yeah. You know, but that didn't mean that all of the rest of our scenes were going to be as that bad.
No. Nope.
So to me, like, I think about our future in terms of humiliation and degradation. And I think, awesome. What's next? Let's do it now. What about you?
I was just looking at the time to see what we could do tonight. I have a couple areas that I can't go around. And anything that kind of circles around my abuse is a big, big one. Anything that circles around my parenting is a big one. But that's also really, really linked to the abuse. So, you know, it's all part of this big, weird kidney-shaped thing that we don't want to touch.
A kidney-shaped thing?
Well, you avoid the kidneys and impacts. Why can't you avoid the kidneys during my event? I just
got it. So. Okay.
And not that I get subject to it, but, you know, shit comes up. And, you know, you've stepped on one of my emotional landmines. So that was a really unpleasant experience.
For everyone.
Everyone was really, really not happy about that. It happens. It happens. And we're still here. We recovered.
Yeah.
I don't, we're almost out of time. I really don't feel like we covered enough.
I really don't think so.
There's so much. It's so broad.
It is.
And
it really is.
It's so deep, and you can really go as deep as you're mentally comfortable going and as far as you're mentally comfortable going. And it's subjected to the individuals involved. So feel free to dive into the pool and try it out and work with your partner to see if this is a direction you two want to go.
Oh, yeah.
Just try it. I mean, check in, make sure everybody's safe, make sure you have a really good safe word, make sure that everybody's comfortable using it or not using it, and then give it a go.
And if you're aching for ideas, ask an S-type, because we have the best.
Those are fucked up
ideas.
Or, you know, D-types, because I have some good ideas too.
Well, yeah. You can always add us on Twitter.
Yes.
And
FetLife.
And FetLife and all of those things. And I mean, well, assuming I have permission to respond to tweets, I will get back to you. But
yeah, so to wrap it up, I mean, to add us to Twitter, I'm at Insidious Muse.
I'm at Service Slut when she lets me.
When I let her, and people go to her because people are intimidated by me. I don't know. And we're the same names, Insidious Muse and Service Slut, Insidious Muse and Service Slut on FetLife. And then my website is insidiousmuse.com. No www, just so you know. It's just http://insidiousmuse.com. Don't ask me. I don't fucking know. It's probably my fault in setting it up. And then it's at Kinkalectual for the show. And we're going to have guests and shit because we're awesome.
And review us on iTunes.
Yep. Because we love you.
And by that, she means you piece of shit.